Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Yesterday, the Padres had a big extra innings win in Atlanta. And today, we've got a unique lineup of hosts to talk about it, starting with Ben Higgins.
I don't think we've ever, you know, shifting lineups all the time. I don't know that this particular lineup for the social hour has ever happened.
And we've got Kurt Bavacqua in studio to help break down the start of the series tonight against the Dodgers, a team he hates, really hates. He could, like, go on about them for an hour.
Oh, I didn't even think you were going to say that. I don't think an hour is nearly enough time.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Ben Higgins and Kurt Bavacqua.
The gas lamp is buzzing on a Friday night, and why not? It's the Padres and the Los Angeles Dodgers, the start of a five-game homestand. Welcome to Padres Social Hour. I'm Ben Higgins, in for Jesse Agler tonight as he gets ready to call tonight's game. Up in the press box, joined by Padres star Kurt Bavacqua from my time growing up watching the team. Loved watching Kurt come into pinch hit, deliver a big one, and first time we've had a chance to do social hour
together. It is. I was looking forward to it. Welcome.
It's a fun one, and this is what social hour to me was invented for. It's an everyday show, but when you've got a Friday night, it's 5:30, it's the start of a big homestand, you get the rival Dodgers in town, and make no mistake, the Padres are in the middle of an interesting chase in the National League West after a 4-3 road trip and a great come-from-behind win yesterday over the Atlanta Braves.
And a lot of things happening on this road trip, both good and bad. But I think it was mostly good, especially after the win yesterday, which I'm sure we're going to talk about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was one of the most notable wins of the season. In fact, the entire road trip, I would say, featured three of the biggest, most impressive comebacks of the season, and one game we probably want to forget when the Padres blew a 5-0 lead with James Shields on the mound. But as long as you're coming out in the positive column and you're winning more of those than you're losing, you'll probably be okay at the end. But yesterday, I mean, you had a benches-clearing incident in the first inning. I guess we got to start there because Matt Kemp gets drilled by a pitch, and this wasn't, let's say, an isolated incident from that series in Atlanta. This was a series with a lot of tension going back a couple of days when Derek Norris was at home plate and Andrelton Simmons slid into him, kind of stuck out his knee. Then you had an attempted hit pitch of Simmons the next day. You had Upton getting hit. Then here you had Kemp getting hit, and the benches come out. No punches thrown, although Kemp, you saw, went down to the turf there with umpire Jordan Baker behind home plate. Was this almost inevitable, Kurt, happening yesterday after what's been happening in the series?
I was looking for the Padres to retaliate because of the Upton hitting, because I think the ball was in their court. You know what? I don't even think he hit Kemp on purpose in that particular situation.
Well, it was a 1-2 count. He could have done a previous pitch, and he did come inside on the 0-2 pitch, and then again on the 1-2 pitch. Kemp obviously was frustrated there. It almost took away the Padres' ability if they wanted to do something. It almost took that away because at that point both benches were warned, and if Andrew Cashner had decided to throw one high and tight, he could have been ejected from that game, which would have put a real strain on the Padres' bullpen.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that they weren't going to do it like was done in 1984. I mean, Dick Williams came into the dugout and lined up all the coaches and said, you're going to be next, you're going to be next, you're going to be after him. And then he went down and called the bullpen. He said, you're coming in after this guy goes out. Or in other words, every time Pascual Perez was coming up, he was getting thrown at.
Dick Williams, not Buddy Black, of course.
Exactly.
Very, very different style of managers, but that doesn't mean that Bud Black isn't interested in protecting his players, protecting his team, and even making a statement if it's called for.
I'm not going to start any issues, but I look for when the Braves come in here in August that we will revisit this.
That's true. They have to come back. You know, sometimes the obvious retaliation is too obvious. Mm-hmm. If you're more subtle about it, baseball players have a long memory, is what you're saying.
If you really think about it, I mean, if you look at the whole situation, Simmons sliding into Norris was the initiator. Tyson Ross thrown behind Simmons was getting back because of the slide. The Braves didn't particularly like that. Upton getting hit was their retaliation. But the Padres never retaliated after that. So Kemp getting hit was a double retaliation, if in fact you want to look at it that way, and that's the reason I don't think it was done purposely.
I know I'm going to lose you here, Kurt, but I'm not a big fan of tit-for-tat retaliation in baseball. I mean, you could go on forever, because as soon as the Padres' Tyson Ross even tried to hit Andrelton Simmons on Wednesday and missed, turned out to be a wild pitch that cost the Padres a run in a close game, then, you know, the Braves decide, well, we got to do something else. And Upton gets hit, and Kemp gets hit. When does it all stop? What's the final straw that breaks the camel's back? Obviously, you don't want to see something, a dirty slide like Andrelton Simmons did, but how do you stop this retaliation going back and forth? Where's the ending point?
There is an ending point in certain times, but Tyson Ross's pitch was too obvious to Simmons. I mean, it was behind his back. If you're going to retaliate in a situation like that, you got to just drill the guy, and then it's done. If the other team doesn't like it and wants to do something else, then you've got to talk about what's going to be redundant retaliation. But I don't think that I really don't believe Matt Kemp got hit on purpose. I know he probably doesn't believe that the way he reacted, but I just don't think it was on their side to do it. If anything, they were waiting for the ball club, for the Padre ball club, to retaliate on Justin Upton getting hit.
Well, I'm very curious what the Padres fans out there have to say, and you can, of course, participate. This is a team show. We need you out there to chime in on Twitter with the hashtag PadresSH if you want to talk about baseball, sending a message, the Padres retaliating, what you think they should do the next time the Braves come to town, what they should have done in this series long ago. You could have, you can sound off on Twitter. Let's continue with the game, though, because that was just the beginning. That was the first inning.
First inning.
Padres find themselves behind 4-1 in the eighth inning when they pull off something that the crack media relations staff, with a little help from Blooper, found out has never happened before since they started keeping records, and that is scoring in the same inning on a passed ball, a bases-loaded walk, and then a bases-loaded catcher's interference. They kept track for the past 40 years or so. They've never seen it happen in the same inning, but that's how the Padres end up tying the game at 4 in the eighth.
It was crazy. I mean, to get to that point, though, what Andrew Cashner did was outstanding. I don't think people realize how well he had to pitch yesterday after that first inning. He could not go inside. Because if, in fact, the ball gets away from him a couple of feet, he's out of the game. And the bullpen strained coming back here to San Diego. So he was in a very precarious situation. The game he pitched from the first inning until he left the game, yelling at Coach Dave Roberts, by the way, he didn't want to leave, and he didn't deserve to leave. But it was just one of those things that had to happen. It was an outstanding ball game. It really was. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think his best locating game of all season.
All right, you mentioned Coach Dave Roberts. That's because Buddy Black got thrown out. We'll discuss that. We'll also discuss a couple of interesting things going on in batting practice. That's coming up. But when we come back, I got a special guest coming in who's going to be performing at the Party at the Park out here before the game today from POD. Stay with us. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines continues here. Kurt Bevacqua, Ben Higgins with you on a Friday night.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines along with Kurt Bevacqua. I'm Ben Higgins. And Kurt, one of the great things about coming to a game at Petco Park is you get so much more than just a baseball game when it comes to your entertainment, like tonight. You got a party at the park going on out at Petco Park in the park at the park. And performing in about 30 minutes is going to be this guy, our special guest, Sonny Sandoval. He's the lead singer from POD. If you know POD, you're a fan. If you don't, basically, I'm thinking, you know, San Diego sports rock anthems of the 21st century, at least as a sports fan. I know you guys have a lot more than that, but you've heard their stuff, I guarantee you, if you've been to Petco Park or Qualcomm Stadium before. Sonny, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, you're not only performing, you're going to be throwing out the first pitch as well today. So the first thing I got to ask is if you're ready, if you're nervous, if you've ever done it before, if you put a little practice in beforehand.
I've done it before at Qualcomm, and I made it over. And then I'm confident, but then every time you talk to somebody about throwing the first pitch, they just look at you, and then now I'm kind of nervous.
Any tips, Kurt?
No, I've already talked to him about
it. He said, I'm going to be just fine.
Yeah, he's going to be fine. But I guarantee he's more nervous about throwing out the first pitch than he is on going on
stage.
That's
right. That's right.
Now, yeah, I know you've got a new album coming out this summer. You're going to go on a concert tour. But you guys are big San Diego sports fans. What's the backstory about how you've become fans of the local teams? I know being locals here in San Diego.
Well, obviously, we're from San Diego. So we're huge Padre fans, huge Chargers fans. We've been lucky enough to partner up with the Padres and the Chargers and play shows before and after some of the playoff events. We've been down on the fields, and it's just awesome. I mean, everywhere we go around the world, people know we're from San Diego.
Petco Park has all of a sudden become the destination to play. I mean, the Rolling Stones,
that's right,
were out there a couple of weeks ago. Aerosmith was out there a couple of days ago, so you guys fit right in with this group.
It must be summertime. Yeah. Fun in San Diego.
So what kind of show you've got planned for out before the game at the Party at the Park?
It's just a quick – I think we're playing a quick 40-minute set, so we're just going to play some songs we think people know. Obviously, some new ones off the new record, but it really isn't about POD. I think it's just about the fans of the Padres coming out and, like you said before, just enjoying everything that this park has to offer.
I know where I'm going when we get off the air.
We'll be able to catch the last last 20 minutes or
It'll
so.
Be perfect.
When we get out there, it's perfect.
And it's not far away.
I know. They've got $5 food and drink specials out there. It's the place to be. Well, the AMR studios are the place to be. But then when you're done watching Padres Social Hour, head out and check out POD and Sonny Sandoval, their lead singer. Thanks for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to see you, man.
Yay.
Good luck. And you're
so going to
be fine. Don't worry about it.
We'll let Sonny go. We're going to come back with more. He has been on the Cholula hot seat, though, so I got to make sure I mention on the Cholula hot seat, Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. And there it is, the Party in the Park getting all set.
Yes.
For POD in just a few minutes, and we will be back in just a couple minutes with more. Reading your tweets, what's been going on before the game, a little tinkering by Bud Black. I will let you know what's coming up. Padres and Dodgers tonight, Padres Social Hour continuing.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
And we're back with you live on a Friday night from the AMR studios here inside the Western Metal Supply Company. Kurt Pavakwa and Ben Higgins. And our thanks again to Sonny Sandoval from POD for stopping by, sitting on the couch with you. And they're heading out to perform in just a few minutes at the Party at the Park.
So no tit for tat, huh?
No tit for tat.
You don't like the tit for tat stuff.
I don't love the tit for tat stuff. First of all, these guys are throwing the ball like 95 miles an hour. It's dangerous.
Don't you know that tit for tat's been in the game since the beginning?
I agree. It's been in there forever. But, things evolve, Kurt. And I understand your point, and I understand it's not my point. It's baseball.
Oh, thank you.
It's true. But you're a baseball man through and through. And
that's true.
And that's the way you grew up in the game. And I understand that that's the way it is, and I don't think I'm going to change it with a one-man crusade. But at some point, we can evolve a little bit as human beings, right? It's possible.
And say it's okay for Simmons to try to hurt your catcher?
I don't think it's okay.
And okay.
He shouldn't have done that. But, Major League Baseball is the one where the umpire should step in and say, hey, you're out of here. Or MLB should say, hey, you're suspended for 3 games if you're going to do that. Hey, they put in a rule that you're not allowed to run into the catcher anymore. The catcher's not allowed to block the plate, and you're not allowed to run into the catcher and try to injure him. So by the definition of that rule, I would think Andrelton Simmons should be facing at least some sort of punishment from Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but you got Jerry Meals as the crew chief of that umpiring crew that's down there, and we saw how bad he was in San Diego, and then he just followed us down south also. So it's I'm not a big fan of him. I think he's a below par, below average umpire, and probably shouldn't even be in the major leagues.
There's a few that have caught the ire of fans over the years. Cowboy Joe West always has his detractors. The Angel Hernandez, people are always criticizing some of these umpires on Twitter, yet they're pretty much immune. Have you ever seen an umpire actually get demoted or fired? Once they've got the job, they're like Supreme Court justices.
And that's the problem. But that's the problem. I mean, why are they immune from being sent out to the minor leagues if they get to the major league level and they don't do a good job day in and day out?
The strike zone just in this past series had some serious questions. When you're looking at the pitches that are called balls that look like they went over the plate, the pitches that are called strikes that look like they're about a foot outside. There's definitely some guys who at least need to work on their mechanics a little bit or practice their, take a few reps before the game or something.
And I tell you what, I'm glad you brought up Joe West's name because he's a perfect example of Cowboy Joe West. And when he came into the big leagues, the type of umpire that he was, and now he runs the Umpires Association, by the way, and there hasn't been any issues with any negotiations with the umpires or organization or anything since Joe West has run it. He's the crew chief, naturally. But Joe West is a great umpire. He really is. He's got a short fuse, and he thinks people paid for their tickets to see him. That's the difference between Joe West and the rest of the umpires that aren't good umpires. Joe West is a good one.
Yeah, kind of like Joey Crawford from the NBA Finals last night. The refs who think that they're the show
exactly.
And not the actual players who are on the field or the court. Kurt, let me get to a couple of notes from before the game. Buddy Black has said that both Brandon Maurer and Joaquin Benoit are not going to be available tonight. He's had to use his bullpen a lot on that road trip, so he's going to try to get a rest for those guys, which means the onus is going to be on Odrysamer Despaigne to go deep into this game, going up against one of the best, maybe the best pitcher in the game, in Clayton Kershaw.
Well, I would say that there's a chance that Despaigne's got a chance to be left out there a little longer than a normal situation because of what Buddy said about Maurer and Benoit. But they'll go to the pen if they need to, if the game's close. I think it's going to be a low-scoring ball game, and, I mean, it always has been. When you face a guy like Clayton Kershaw, or certainly the guy that's going tomorrow night for him, Greinke, he's a great pitcher. I'd rather face him than Kershaw any day.
Well, I hope it's a low-scoring game because you don't think you're going to probably get a ton of runs off Kershaw. He's been pitching great. He started the season with a couple of not great outings, but his last three have been terrific. He one-hit the Cardinals his last time out. So you're hoping to do what you did on opening day. Keep it close, scratch across a couple of runs, and then give your bullpen a chance to win it in the last couple of innings with a big hit. The Dodgers don't have one of the best bullpens in the league, so you keep it close, you've got a shot. This, by the way, is the fourth series the Padres and Dodgers have played, and the Dodgers have taken two out of three each time, but don't be fooled. The games have been very competitive, very close, and if you look at the overall score, I mean, it's almost even this season. So the Padres are right there with the Dodgers. They're five games back in the standings, but when you put these teams head-to-head on the field, they're almost certainly going to play a close one.
Well, I'm not superstitious, but I've got it figured out. I wore a little...
Okay, you got to explain your wardrobe because you're a colorful man.
I wore a little San Francisco Giant orange and black.
On the shoes, sure.
I got some red in my socks and a little red here.
For the Diamondbacks.
And it just, no.
No.
St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay, Cardinals.
It just so happens that the Dodgers are 2-7 against the Giants and 2-5 against the Cardinals. And then you got to wear a Padre regalia when you come to the game because you don't want to be outnumbered by the Dodger jerseys that are going to be in the stands.
It makes sense. You're channeling a little of the Giants and Cardinals success.
I got a little channel. And then I still don't step on the line when I cross into the field.
There's always a place. Maybe there's not tit for tat, but a little superstition is always good for baseball.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you don't jinx the no-hitter in progress, at least if you're at the game. If I'm on Twitter, I may say something because it's my job.
Oh,
to let
absolutely.
People know. But if you're at the game, you don't say something.
You don't even talk to the pitcher.
No, you don't. You stay away from the pitcher. You don't even talk to him. You don't step on the lines. If something's working, lucky underwear or something, go with it. Hey, if it gives you confidence, go with it.
I know guys that have worn the same stuff for a while.
All right, other thing going on before the game that was interesting, if you watch the Padres out taking a little infield, they shuffled things up a little bit. They had Yonder Alonso taking grounders not at first base, but at third base. Will Middlebrooks moved over to shortstop, and then Will Myers was taking some grounders at first base. Now, that's not where they're in the lineup tonight, but it begs the question, is that something that we'd like to see from Buddy Black in the future, that we may are going to see from Buddy Black in the future to keep his best offensive players in the lineup by putting them in positions that we're not accustomed to seeing them in?
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that we saw that today. And it was actually pre-game practice. These guys were out working on things, and that's when you go out and you work as a player on a different thing than you're normally used to doing. But I think a couple of situations has caused that domino effect. One of them being Yonder Alonso swinging the bat as well as he is. Will Myers coming back. But the two guys, Will Venable, playing as good as he has, and also Melvin Upton Jr. coming back into the roster.
Well, we got some tweets on the idea of at least moving Yonder across the diamond and getting Will Middlebrooks in at short and Will Myers at first. First one comes from Sack Bunt. Chris, don't do anything only halfway. The all-offense train has left the station. And that's what you do this for. It would be to get your best offensive players into the lineup and still, you know, have Will Venable, who's been hitting really well, be able to play defense in center field. That moves Will Myers into first base. So that's kind of the idea. Yet you think about defensively, and while you can't imagine that Yonder Alonso, with limited experience, is going to be great at third, you get Will Venables to stay out. That improves your outfield defense. So, you know, there is kind of a trade-off both ways.
Well, there is a little bit of a trade-off, but I don't think the defense is going to be hurt that much. If, in fact, Alonso was moved over to the third base and you put Middlebrooks at short, I think Alexi Amarista is a better defensive shortstop than Will right now, Will Middlebrooks. But, you know, I don't want to get the Wills mixed up. I mean, somebody might think Will Myers is going to shortstop. So you never can tell. But I know Will Myers looked very comfortable at first base, and he did a good job before he was put on a disabled list with tendonitis in his wrist. So, I don't think it's that big of a deal for a few innings of a game, and I think that's the way it'll start in order to get offense into the game, and I think sometimes that is needed.
All right, Thomas Mawson tweets saying, hey, this is normal. When I was in a little league, the coach would ask everyone where they wanted to play that day too.
That's good.
Yeah, hashtag Padres SH. And then one more here from Andres Vargas who says, hey, Bud Black has to find a way to keep the hot hitters in the lineup one way or another, right? And that's basically what we're talking about is find a way. Yonder Alonso's been hitting great this season, but you can't play him and Will Myers at first base at the same time. So if you want them both in there and you want Will Venable out in center, someone has to move. And it's basically figuring out who can do the best job moving over to a different position while getting all three of those guys in a lineup at the same time.
Well, Will Venable and Melvin Upton Jr. are the two guys that are causing this domino deal. That's all there is to it. I mean, Will Myers coming back naturally is a plus for the ball club, and things had to be done. But you could easily just stick him in center field. If Venable's not hitting the ball and Upton's not quite ready to play yet, or at least on an everyday basis, you put Will Myers back in center field, and you've got Yonder Alonso at first base and Will Middlebrooks playing third, which is his natural position, and just stick Lexi or Clint Barmas, who's playing good and swinging the bat well, by the way, at shortstop.
It may seem like an issue, a problem for Bud Black and A.J. Preller, but I guarantee it's a good thing to have too many players that you want to get into the lineup at the same time. Hey, the last couple of years, the Padres didn't have enough bats in their lineup. Now, all of a sudden, they've got too many and not necessarily a place to play all of them. That's a much better problem to have than figuring out a way to score more than one or two runs a night.
I don't think that that it's an issue right now. I think A.J. Preller is hard at work. And when he gets hard at work, deals are made. And I would not be surprised to see a deal made with the San Diego Ball Club within the next 30 to 45 days.
Hey, you know what? The trading done. Now that the draft is over, GMs will start focusing on the big league roster and the trade deadline, which is coming up at the end of July. So absolutely, the discussions are out there. We'll just see how quickly, if the Padres decide to pull the trigger on a move.
We will see.
We will see.
It's going to be interesting.
All right, so we also see what's coming up. Second half of Padres Social Hour still to come. First, Petco as your hometown pet retailer. Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. And I understand we have a special announcement from Wayne Partello as well coming up in the second half of the show. Stay tuned for that. Kurt and Ben with you. Padres Social Hour continues here on a Friday night.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
And Padres Social Hour on a Friday night brought to you by United Airlines. It is Petco Park. The Dodgers are in town. It doesn't get much better than this. Ben Higgins in for Jesse Agler. He's going to be calling the game tonight. This, of course, is Kurt Bevakwa, who has already explained his wardrobe for the evening. And it makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
Giants own the Dodgers. Cardinals own the Dodgers.
Yes,
that's
they
the
do.
Red and the orange and black for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Hey, if you're wondering, by the way, aces do get lit up occasionally. Clayton Kershaw, double Cy Young Award winner on the mound tonight for the Dodgers. But, hey, it's the Seattle Mariners facing the Houston Astros. Felix Hernandez, one of the best pitchers in the game, just told by Nikki, one out, gave up 8 runs, and got lifted. So it does happen that the aces get lit up occasionally. Something in the water tonight, and Clayton Kershaw could suffer a similar fate.
That would be nice. It really would. One out, 8 runs. I don't look for that, it to happen, but it would be nice. I'd be satisfied with scoring 3 or 4 runs.
And hey, and then it's up to Odorizzi Mardespine to keep him right there. And Odie's pitched really well at home for the most part. Sometimes he struggled a bit on the road. His last outing in Cincinnati, it wasn't a bad outing. He gave up the 2 home runs to Jay Bruce, and that accounted for all 4 runs. Other than that, he was pretty solid. Bud Black needs one of his solid outings tonight. We mentioned earlier a couple of guys in the bullpen resting tonight, Maurer and Benoit, both going to be down. So you really want to see him go, really 7 at least is what you'd hope for tonight from Despaigne.
O-Dog has gotten to a point where he's trusting throwing his fastball in and then coming back with the changeup in also. And for a hitter, that's a tough pitch to not get way out in front of. After you've seen a fastball inside at 92 or 93, and then a guy throws with the same arm motion a changeup at 82 or 80, inside also, you're going to be way out in front of that ball and swinging over the top of it.
You know, I'm impressed by the adjustments that we've seen from Despaigne so far this season, because he had a rough patch, a couple of starts where he really got lit up and was almost in danger of losing his spot in the starting rotation if he didn't turn it around. And with that kind of pressure hanging over his head, he's really turned it around and has earned his spot back. And now if Brandon Morrow had been able to come back healthy, we might have been seeing him tonight. But that wouldn't have been because Despaigne had done anything wrong, because he really has solidified his game the last few weeks.
He really has. I mean, he had a couple of tough outings, but he's come back, just like you said, pitched really, really well. I mean, he really has.
He's been solid. And we've got a couple more tweets here in our discussion about the batting practice infield earlier today, with Yonder Alonso taking some balls at third, Will Middlebrooks taking some at short, and Will Myers over at first base. Garrick Sullivan tweeted, and I'd love to see Middlebrooks really take over the shortstop spot, and I'd put Solarte at second base. Offense over defense. That's, again, the theory. Now, Will Middlebrooks has not played a lot of shortstop in his life, and it's a tough position on the diamond to take over if you're not experienced. There's a saying, I think, the championships are won defensively up the middle, center field, shortstop, second base, catcher. You know, that's the risk when you put in a guy who's not been there, that you could be giving up more runs than you're adding to your offense by changing the lineup.
I can recall numerous teams where catchers, shortstops, and second basemen didn't hit 250. All they were really concerned about, and when I say they, I'm talking about the ball clubs, was their defense. As long as they could catch the ball. And you don't have to make outstanding plays. If you make the routine plays, you're out there and you're a good defender.
Now, not every team can have a Troy Tulowitzki at short who can slug and is also good defensively. But it's also a different era now. I would argue back when you were playing, you saw a lot of punch and Judy hitting second baseman and shortstops. Now, recently, you've started to see, and I would say, you know, like Jeff Kemp started kind of ushering in the era of power hitters in the infield, in those middle infield spots. You start seeing those guys really starting to, you know, hit. You know, Kent was, not a great fielder at second base, but was a great home run hitter for the San Francisco Giants.
Well, I mean, it was Joe Morgan before him was a home run hitting second base and won the National League MVP award in 2 consecutive years. I mean, that hasn't been done in a long time. So it's just the way the game has come along nowadays. Everybody is swinging for home runs, and everybody's swinging to bat hard, and it doesn't matter what position you play, you're going to get an offensive player.
But you still need the defense.
Absolutely,
game has not changed. You're still going to need some defense up the middle. I mean, going back to the days of Ozzie Smith who wasn't, you know, he was an okay hitter, but he's in the Hall of Fame. Not for anything he did with his bat, of course. It was for what he did with his glove.
Absolutely. You know, Ozzy really became a pretty good hitter after he went to the St. Louis Cardinals. I don't know why he was that much better with St. Louis than he was with San Diego. And it almost seemed like Gary Templeton, as good as he was with this ball club in San Diego, you know, he had his best couple of years when he was in St. Louis. So maybe it was the AstroTurf or the players that were surrounding them.
You know, that's the kind of trade you almost never see nowadays. A shortstop for shortstop trade. Basically, I'll take yours, you take mine, and let's see who wins that. I think modern GMs would say it's too obvious who wins and loses that trade. Someone's going to look bad. They'd be afraid to pull. You have to be really confident in your player evaluation skills to say, okay, I'll just trade your shortstop for mine, and we'll see who has a better eye for talent.
I tell you what, Tempe's a very good friend, but I think he was starting to get on the nerves of the St. Louis Cardinal management, and that was one of the reasons that he was traded away.
All right, we've already talked about your wardrobe. We got a tweet in here from Mickey Koch who says, Higgs, I guess that's me, has got to up his sock flow. Hashtag Padres SH. See, now, okay, I don't pull off what Jesse can do with the sock game. I really don't. So I went... Yeah, I got the pants, the jacket. I thought maybe that would add my Friday night flair. But no, my socks are boring.
Yeah, you got to have a little.
Look at you guys. You're knocking me out of the water.
And these are kind of plain. But our socks are important.
Especially when you're sitting on a couch in a chair like this.
With your legs crossed.
No, that's too true. Too true.
Especially when people are watching and they get through to you like
this. I know.
This.
I love this. I love the excitement of a Friday night at Petco Park with the Dodgers in town. The gas lamp. There's a buzz. Down here for the game. If you're not going to be here, you better stay and watch because I just feel something special could happen tonight.
It is great, especially when the Dodgers are in town. And Saturday is even crazier. I mean, it's baseball night in San Diego. I do a pregame show for 2 hours on radio, and then I come back here and do the postgame show for an hour.
I love that. It's the Saturday night special.
Oh, it is.
It's fantastic. You know who's coming in tomorrow night? People are already asking on Twitter.
Heath Bell?
Heater. Heater's going to sit on the couch with you? Oh,
Heater
my
Bell
goodness.
On the couch.
Alert the FCC.
On the couch. And then my second guest is a surprise.
Oh, my goodness.
Could be a left-hander.
All right. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, we'll see.
Do you know an all-star mom? Arm & Hammer and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize one all-star mom and send her and her family to the 2015 MLB All-Star Game in Cincinnati. Go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mom so special. We'll get to the starting lineup coming up in a little bit. Also, a special announcement, Wayne Partello in the building as well. Padres Social Hour on a Friday night. Padres and Dodgers. We'll be right back.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Well, we are back in the AMR studios with Padres Social Hour on a Friday night, but there, hey, you can't say we don't have the best guests. Sonny Sandoval from POD was in here just a few minutes ago, and there he is hopping around and singing the live concert at the Party in the Park before tonight's game against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Looks like fun out there. Kurt Bevacqua, Ben Higgins, and joined right now by the chief marketing officer of San Diego Padres, Wayne Partello. I was saying earlier, it's sock game. I've got no sock game. I understand.
His sock game's
weak. Are you slacking in the sock game?
Father's Day is coming up, and my kids, who better be watching right now, you know what you need to get me for Father's Day.
Right over here in the Padres Pro Shop over there is a whole stack of incredible socks. Not just Padres socks.
Well, now they know where to go shopping for the socks.
On the way
out. Yeah, a week from Sunday, I'm expecting a nice sock gift. And I'd be very happy because I like socks, but... Yeah, my sock game. I went with the jacket and the pants.
You look great. Thank you.
Today.
Better than Agler's ever looked.
So I was saying earlier to Kurt, you come into the game for the baseball is great, but the best thing about Petco Park is you get so much more. Like tonight, the POD concert at the Party at the Park, and I understand you've come up with a new wrinkle and a little special announcement for us, Wayne.
Yeah, we are, we're always looking for new ideas and new fun ways to have a great time. Obviously, we're excited for this weekend with the Dodgers being in town. Go out and get some wins over the weekend. But one of the promotions we kicked off this year is Way Back Wednesday. So we had one earlier in April, but there's four Wednesday day games through the summer. So 12:40 starts. We're going to wear the 85-90 brown pinstripe jerseys. A favorite of yours? Anybody?
Absolutely.
You like those
love the brown pinstripes. I love seeing them back for the Way Back Wednesdays.
Yeah, they look great. So We'll be wearing those on Wayback Wednesdays. But July 1st, which kind of kicks off 4th of July weekend, right, and gets you ready. It also kicks off our Wayback Wednesdays. I'm drawing this out. I'm letting Seth get his soundboard ready. He looks excited. We're going to have a DJ set after the game in the park at the park with Little John.
What?
Yes.
What?
Little John. Little John will be DJing after the game, park at the park, on July 1st. It's a 12:40 game, so great way to start your 4th of July weekend. Is started early, started on Wednesday. Come here to Petco Park. Padres, Mariners, Lil Jon in the park at the park.
Rapper, yeah. Producer, Lil Jon and the East Side Boys.
There you go.
Gonna be in. And you know,
do you have a Lil Jon impersonation over there?
No, that's what I have blooper in the soundboard for. Yeah. To do all the impersonations. But you know, something else fun. I mean, you come to the game, you know, we've done concerts here, we've done before the game, we've done after the game. Have we heard before of a DJ session though? After a Major League Baseball game.
You know, I'll have to look into it. I'm not quite sure. We're just excited. You know, Lil Jon is a huge name, a great DJ, and a lot of fun. And for those who are Celebrity Apprentice fans, he was fantastic on that show as well. I think that you know, you sort of saw every side of Lil Jon. But we're definitely fired up to have him join us here at Petco Park and entertain the crowd after a Wednesday day game. July 1st, not a bad way to spend a day here at Petco Park.
Donald Trump might show up and spin a disc or two.
You got to get the turntables out. It's going to be perfect. And Blooper tells me Lil Jon has over 1 million Twitter followers.
Wow.
So you got to get him to mention us on Twitter, Wayne, so we can get the bump up our following a little bit.
Hashtag
Padre
SH
well.
Going on there for it, you. Absolutely.
We could have a killer Padres SH if Lil Jon would just tweet us a little bit of love when he comes in for Wayback Wednesday.
I would also like to mention that it took Agler not being here for a day for me to get invited on this show. All year, no love with Agler, and then all of a sudden, Mr. Ben Higgins shows up, and I'm invited on the show. Thank
well, you,
you
know
that.
What? You're kind of his boss, right? It's a little awkward. I come in as the guest. It's a little more fun to have you in, Wayne. Yeah. I like seeing you. Much pressure for Jet. You don't want to. He's got. You know, he doesn't need that kind of stress in his life.
It's also nice to come on the show and not have to talk about uniforms for once, which is nice. We get to talk about wearing them, but you know, wearing.
Oh,
them
I'm sure we could find a few fans if you want to face the firing line one more time, Wayne.
No, we're. I'm good. I'm good.
All right,
it's Friday
so, again. Lil Jon going to do a post game DJ set July 1st, Wayback Wednesday after the game. Padres and Mariners out at the park. At the park, Wayne. Wayne, Kids Fest?
We got a big thing. Yeah, this weekend we got fireworks on Saturday night. Our big summer sky blast is going to be fantastic. And, you know, I've been all everywhere today just trying to encourage all of our fans to vote for the All-Star game. We got guys that just deserve to be starting this All-Star game. It's been since 1999. Now is the time. Get out there. Vote Padres.
That Derek Norris staring at you, that was your idea, right?
It was not my idea. You want me to tell you whose idea that was?
Yes. Whose idea was that?
It was somebody else who sits in that seat.
Really?
But not Agler. Can you?
Mike Grace.
Mikey Grace.
I love the idea.
Mike Grace's idea. It's a great idea, right?
I will credit him. I think I'm doing the show with him next week. So
there you go.
I will give him full credit. Wayne, good to see
job.
You.
Thanks, guys.
All right, families. Kids Fest at the Park of the Park back this Sunday featuring bounce houses, games, face painters, balloon artists, and other kid-friendly activities. Check out the Padres take on the Dodgers at 1:10 p.m. Get tickets at Padres.com or at the box office. There's POD out at the party at the park. We'll have your starting lineup and your head-to-head matchup, Kurt against Blooper, when we come back on Padres Social Hour.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Already got a text from my wife. Got to get tickets for July 1st. Got to see Lil Jon. Wayne Partella just made the announcement. DJ said, after the game, coming to Wayback Wednesday on July 1st. We're wrapping up Padres Social Hour. Kurt Bavacqua and Ben Higgins with you, presented by United Airlines, and they also present our starting lineup for tonight's game, the Padres and the San Diego Padres and the LA Dodgers. And what strikes you, Kurt, about tonight's lineup against left-handed pitcher Clayton Kershaw?
Well, it surprises me that
I'm seeing all right-handed bats in there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking. They have stacked the righties. Melvin Upton Jr. getting his first start here at Petco Park as a member of the Padres batting seventh. Will Myers, of course, back his second day. He's going to lead off and play first base, though, after playing center field yesterday in Atlanta. So you got him at first base, you got Melvin Upton out in center field, and you got a lot of big bats in there, and they're all right-handed against Kershaw.
And as good as he's been swinging a bat against left-handed pitchers, Yonder Alonso's not in there. I started to look down the list. I didn't see his name,
it's
and
unusual.
I didn't know what to say.
Exactly. He's left-handed, so it's unusual. Give Yonder a day off against a tough left-handed pitcher and see if you can go and get something off Clayton Kershaw with all those right-handers.
Well, I tell you what. I had a manager by the name of Chuck Tanner one time that used to use reverse psychology against some pitchers. And Steve Carlton was one of them. And for whatever reason, he used to have some issues against left-handed hitters. So it was surprising to see a guy like Willie Stargell and Dave Parker in the lineup against Steve Carlton, opposed to a guy like Bill Matlock and other guys that were on the Pittsburgh Pirate team. So we'll see how this works out tonight.
It doesn't always work when you're going up against a great pitcher, but hey, you know what? Lefty righty, play the matchups. You get your best offensive lineup out there. Lineup brought to you by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. And now that you've seen the lineup, we can do our head-to-head matchup. The couch against blooper presented by Supercuts. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail. The cut, the lines, the hot towel finish so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. And those are the standings. Basically, blooper and whoever's sitting on that couch picks one player, your pick to click for the night, and whoever has the best performance, as judged by the Social Hour host the following day, gets the point. And blooper has been red hot of late.
Who won the game when Tyson Ross pitched and you picked him?
What day?
The last
time. 2 days ago.
I think me by default.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? How do you win that? The team lost.
I mean,
what kind of scorekeeping is going on here? No wonder you're winning 9-5.
By the host, not
hey, the host decides. And yesterday, I think Derek Norris was the winning pick from the couch, if not mistaken. So the couch is on a one-game winning streak. So that means blooper is going to go first. So who's your pick for the head-to-head tonight?
Derek Norris.
Derek Norris going to go with yesterday's winner to see if he can back it up with another one. That leaves you with a lot of right-handed bats, or you could even pick the pitcher, Odorizzi Mayor Despaña. Whatever you'd want to do, Kurt.
I don't think I'm going to take
the honor of the couch is on the line.
If I took Despaña, it would be the pick of the year.
Hey, he shuts down the Dodgers. He's an easy winner.
I will go with... I'm going to go out on a limb here and go with Clint Barmas.
Clint Barmas.
Yes.
Against Clayton Kershaw.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? It only takes one good swing, and it could decide the game, and that could be your winner. Has anyone picked Clint Barmas yet this season, couch or blooper? No. First pick in head-to-head for Clint Barmas.
Well, we'll see.
Someone go tell him. That'll give him a lot of confidence. He's going to go out and have the game of his life, knowing that you, Kurt Pavakwa, showed some faith in a big night for Clint Barmas.
Well, he's got a shorter swing than a lot of the other guys that are in the lineup. And even though I overlooked Kemp and Upton and guys like that, sometimes when you get through that part of the lineup, a starting pitcher will breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. And they get down to the bottom of the lineup, and there's Clint Barmas.
Big series, Padres and Dodgers. You're right there. If you can win this series, you've got a lot of momentum going into a softer part of your schedule. It's going to be tough. Hey, Kershaw and Greinke are two of the best for a reason, but this is why we come out and watch these games, for opportunities like the Padres have tonight.
No, it's the time of the year where you got to start putting it down and showing the other team that you mean business. So far this year, the Padres haven't played that well against the Los Angeles Dodgers, so I'm looking for them tonight to play a little better baseball.
All right, coming up tomorrow, another 7:10 start on a Saturday night, 5:30 for Padres Social Hour. Mike Grace will be in this chair. Randy Jones will be in that chair. But after the game, Kurt Pavakwa takes the Padres Social Hour postgame on the Saturday, and Heath Bell is going to join him on the couch, plus a special guest that you will not reveal to us here.
Yet.
But we'll find out after.
Yes.
I don't think I've missed one of those Saturday night shows yet.
Keep in touch with Twitter, and I'll let you know who's going to be the guest.
All right. You follow Kurt Pavakwa on Twitter. He's going to let you know.
Kurt Pavakwa.
But it's worth tuning in just for the heater.
Oh, absolutely.
Back to Petco Park.
Absolutely. Yes.
Always fun. Always festive. Always has stuff to say. Got to thank Blooper, as always, Wayne Partella, for stopping by as well. For Kurt Pavakwa, I'm Ben Higgins. Padres and Dodgers coming up next from Petco Park. This has been Padres Social Hour. Thank you.